of a mighty rushing wind. And it's closer now than it's ever been. Now I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. And at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call God's children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, yes, Lord. I look around me and I see prophecies fulfilling. Oh, and the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Well, I can almost hear the Father saying, Son, go get my children. At the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call God's children, the dead in Christ shall rise. The midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, in those that remain will be quickly changed. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again.
Want to turn with us over in Genesis, the 47th chapter. I think it was my brother had sent me an email, and this preacher had put this, his sermon, and this is part of his sermon, and I kind of read into it a little bit, and I said, I'm going to share that, but I want to add some scriptures to it. And because I'm sure it's not all of his sermon here. And let the Lord speak to us in the day we live in. We're living in troublesome times. I don't know whether y'all know it or not. And I don't know if any of y'all saw John Hagee today, but he was talking about it as well. And he's talking about the end time, the coming of the Lord, just like what we was talking somewhat a little bit this morning. And so the Lord is trying to warn us and prepare us and get ready. If you know anything about the Old Testament, see, we're living in a grace period now. The Old Testament, the way it worked was that people would steer away from God, and God would send a prophet to warn them that if they didn't repent, that judgment was going to come upon them. And so sometimes they would repent, and of course everything would go good and keep going. But if they did not repent, then God would send judgment by another nation, would come in and conquer them and take them over and bring them into bondage. And we see that many times. Well, when we come over into the New Testament, and a lot of times people get that confused with the Old Testament, the New Testament, and we're living in a time of grace, and a lot of times people say God brings things upon you. No. You're wrong. You're accusing God falsely. You better be watchful of that. And you say, well, why did God bring judgment on them back then and not now? Because this is called a period called grace. But judgment is coming at the end. And he sent not prophets necessarily, but pastors and teachers and evangelists, amen, apostles and prophets, to warn the people. And if they repent, then fine. You know, you'll go to heaven and everything in a new heaven and new earth. God's got a plan for us. We'll talk a little bit about it this morning. But if you don't, judgment is coming at the end. Mind you, judgment is coming. And so we see here in this story here in Genesis in the 47th chapter that when I begin to read it, it's a picture of where we're living in this troublesome time. We're living at the end of this thing. Amen. I believe with all my heart we're living in the last days. In fact, you know, the last part of the last days, latter times of the last days. And let's get into it. Genesis in the 47th chapter, and as we'll read along, maybe it'll kind of, a picture will be coming to you of what we're seeing here even in America today. Genesis the 47th chapter is the time when Joseph has been made, you know, second command over Egypt. Pharaoh is the man. All right, verse number 13, let's pick it up there. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan. How? For the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money unto Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. And Joseph said, give your cattle. Give your cattle. Something else is on, brother. I'm getting an echo up here. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks and cattle of the herds and for asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my Lord, how that our money is spent, my Lord. Also hath our herds and of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore should we die before thine eyes, both we and our lands? Buy us our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from the end of the borders of Egypt, even unto the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned unto them of Pharaoh. And they did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. And Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. In other words, let me distribute to you the way I see fit. And it shall come to pass in the increase that you shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh. Even the part they give. The fourth part shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for the food of your little ones. Listen to this. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Mr. Government, you are our Savior. You have saved us, Mr. Government. Let us find grace in thy sight, my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have a fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt and in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. This is the time when Israel went into Egypt's bondage for 400 years until a man came named Moses. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. Father, we're living in this time, Lord, seemingly that the people of America, the home of the free and the land, home of the brave, land of the free, God, has been silenced. Father, in a land, God, where it was founded upon you, God, founded upon the God that created all, founded upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we're living in a land, God, where they're trying to erase the thoughts of you, erase the thoughts of the blood. And others are trying to stand in your place, God. Father, I'm reminded in the book of Acts when Herod stood up, Lord, to try to stand in that day and make oration unto the people. And the people begin to cry out, it is a voice of a God, that the angel smote him because he tried to claim that he was God. Lord, there is only one God, and that is you. And I stand to recognize that, and there shall not be another. Father, I love you tonight, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read what this pastor has spoken here. He said, here we see that economic times fell upon Egypt, and the people turned to the government of Pharaoh to deal with this for them. And Pharaoh nationalized the grain harvest and placed the grain in great storehouses that he had built. So the people brought their money to Pharaoh like the great tax increase and gave it all to him willingly in return for grain. This went on until their money ran out and they were hungry again. So when they went to Pharaoh after that, they brought their livestock, their cattle, their horses, their sheep, their donkey to barter for grain. Verse 17 says that only took them through the end of that year. But the famine wasn't over yet. So the next year the people came unto Pharaoh and admitted that they had nothing left except for their land and their own lives. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for food, and we will, with our lands, will be servants to Pharaoh. So they surrendered their homes and their land and their real estate to Pharaoh's government, and then sold themselves into slavery to him in return for grain. What can we learn from this? He says, brothers and sisters, that turning to the government instead of to God to be our provider in hard times only leads to slavery. Amen. That is the only reason government wants to be our provider, is it also become our master. Do you understand what I'm telling you tonight? But look how that passage ends. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen. And they gained possessions of it and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. God provided for his people just as he always has. Remember this morning I told you about the hurricane, but the eye of the storm. Amen. They didn't give up by giving all their possessions to the government. It says they gained possessions, but I also tell you a great truth today that it was an awful hard one. We see the same thing happening today. The government today wants to share the wealth. Once again, take it from us and redistribute it back to us. It wants to take control of our health care, just as they've taken control of the education and rationed it back to us. When government rations it, then the government decides who gets it and how much and what kind. And if we go along with it and do it willingly, then we will wind up no different than the people in Egypt did 400 years in slavery to the government, slaves to their leaders. Amen. The man goes on and he says, what Mr. Obama's government is doing now is no different from what Pharaoh's government did then. And it will end up the same way. A lot of people like to call Mr. Obama a Messiah, don't they? He is no Messiah. He's no Savior. Amen. Didn't the Egyptians say after Pharaoh had made them slaves, you have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we'll be servants to Pharaoh. I tell you this truth. I know the Messiah. The Messiah is a friend of mine. And Mr. Obama is no Messiah. Amen. Mr. Obama is a character from the Bible. If he's a character in the Bible, then he's a Pharaoh, amen. And the man goes into prayer and he begins to pray for America and pray for the church that America will be opened up their eyes, amen. But every time I see that the government gets into people's affairs, it begins to turn into a mess. Why? Because number one, the government has kicked God out. And any time you kick God out, he said, except the Lord build the house, it shall fall. Except the Lord build the city, it cannot stand. Except the Lord build a nation, it will fall. Amen. I'm telling you, we need God in America. Not less God, but more God. We need God in our churches. We need it in the pulpit. We need the preachers to get saved and the members to get saved. We need God in our lives. The man begins to pray. Let me read part of the prayer and I get in some scriptures. He said, Lord, you alone are worthy to be served. And we rely on you. You alone. We confess that the government is not our deliverer and never rightly will be. We read in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel when Samuel warned the people of what the ruler would do, where it says, you remember when the people cried out as they began to look around at all the other nations, and all the other nations had them a king, and they went to Samuel and they cried out to Samuel the prophet and said, give us a king. Let me tell you, God was their king, but they wanted a man king. I'm telling you, people looking to the government, you need to look a little higher than the government for your help. We're looking at all the wrong places. God has got the final say. Amen. Oh, help us here tonight, Lord. He says, and when Samuel warned the people of what a ruler would do, where it says, and in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom ye have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. God, help us in America, amen. Help us today, Lord.
And the Lord we acknowledge that that day has come. We cry out to you because of the ruler that we have chosen for ourselves as a nation. Lord, we pray for this nation. We pray for revival. We pray for deliverance from those who would be our masters. We give our hearts to seek you and our hands to serve you and protect your people from the atrocities of Pharaoh's government. That was the prayer that the man prayed. Amen. It said in Psalms in the 33rd chapter in verse 12, he said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You hear what I'm saying to you? He said every nation would be blessed if God is their Lord. But read it backwards. If God is not your Lord, then there's a curse upon you. He said in 1 Samuel 8:4, it says, and all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel. Verse 5, it said, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel. When he said, give us a king to judge us, Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Going down to verse 17, it says, Samuel began to tell the people, he will take a tenth from your sheep, and you shall be his servants. If you want a king, he's going to begin to take from you, and you'll begin to serve him. I'm telling you, the government should be for the people and by the people, but the government is dictator over the people. They've become Lord and master. They still work for us. Amen. The last time I checked, we vote for them and we vote them in and they answer to the people. Listen. He said, but they'll come and he'll want a tenth of your sheep. Man, a go. Man, Samuel will be now. They want 30-something percent. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and the king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. I see it in the church world. People will take and vote for some old hireling as a pastor, amen, and sit under that junk, amen, because it tickles their ears. But a good, solid, Bible-toting, scripture-preaching preacher, they don't want nothing to do with it. Give us somebody that'll tickle our ears. Help us, Lord. He said in Psalms 9:17, he said, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Did you hear what he said? America is included. America is not excluded. It's included in that. He said, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. America is forgetting God in our government, in our schools. Come on, they're forgetting God. They're rewriting history. They had a thing, I wish you all would have saw it the other night. I got it recorded. It's just kind of to watch you. Because she's getting involved. She's going to get involved in the school system. Listen, you need to get involved in the school system. They're rewriting history every year. The books are changed. They keep being changed and changed and changed. To after a while, my friend, you won't recognize America. The books are slanting to make America seem evil. Amen. And the young children to come up and thinking America is evil. America is not a bad country. I don't have to go over in other countries and apologize for America. America has been good to other countries. Our men and women have given their lives to go and rescue Germany and France, come on, all those countries over there, men that's left their home and sacrificed their life for their freedom. America is a good country. It's a good country. Yes. If you don't like it, get out. It's just like I say, Deliverance Tabernacle is a good church. If you don't like it, get out.
Help me, Lord. Listen. Listen. I'll just show this one little thing in your textbooks. In your textbooks, when they get over teaching a little bit of religion, it says in your textbooks, it says this. The Christians believe that Jesus is their Messiah. They believe that. It also says Moses claimed to receive the Ten Commandments from God on the mountain. But it says this, the Quran is the revelation that Muhammad received from Allah. It is. It's the real thing. Them others I don't know about, but this is, that's in your textbooks in the schools. Oh, that's just a little smidge. That's the easy stuff. You ought to get into the bad stuff. They're indoctrinating children, making little robots to believe how they want to believe. Amen? Listen, you know the sad thing? You know the sad thing? We was talking to a school board lady the other day, and a man, and they said at the school board meetings, you know how many parents shows up to the school board meetings? The woman was out there trying to get support of people to come to the school board meeting so that they can get change in the school back to the good. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what a cistern is? A cistern is an old hole they dig in the clay ground that catches the rainwater, that's full of bugs and all kind of spittle and everything else in it. Amen. And that's what the church people are getting. They have broken cisterns, and that's all they get is old junk. And that's why the church world is in a mess, because we've forsaken the fountain of living water. Jesus is that fountain. Amen. We're trying to do it all. The Holy Ghost can't come in anymore. Huh? Let me move on. Let me get through here. Listen. John 4:14, he says, Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I give him shall never thirst. Amen. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. I'm talking about, he's talking about getting saved here. And he's talking about you can drink and get this well put in you that you'll never thirst again. If you'll go on, if you'll continue in the faith, if you'll grow in the Lord, if you get rooted and grounded in God, and you keep on going through John, and you get in the 7th chapter, because you're growing. And he says in verse 36, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, see, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me tell you, a well will dry up, but a river will keep flowing. That's the people who get it. This morning I'm talking about getting it. You get it. I'm telling you, those that got the river. Look at the one next to you and say, are you one that gets it? Oh, you'll have to get a tape, a CD. I'm not going to repeat the message this morning. Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You know what he's talking about written in there? That they're a shame. Their life is a failure. Amen? That's what he's talking about, because we forsake the Lord and we see lives and nations go down, and it's written, I don't want to be like them people. He said in Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense unto vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. It ain't way not cast up means raised up. I'm telling you, the church world has lowered their standards down. And I guess that's why they got to talk about valleys all the time in the church. They've lowered their standards so that they're in the valley all the time. But I'm telling you, there's still a highway that he has made, amen. There's still a higher standard of way. Don't lower your standards for nobody. Don't lower your standards for the government. There's a lot of people that's sold out. There's a lot of people that's living together and would not get married because they lose a little old check. My friend, you'll go to hell over a little old check. Let me go on here. Jeremiah 2:11 said, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." The glory of the church. The glory of the church used to be power. When you come in, the glory of the church, that a sinner come in and they be convicted. When somebody come in sick, they be healed. Come on. But we've changed our glory in the church. I ain't talking about the church across the street. I'm talking about us. They've changed their glory to that. That's no glory. Come on. It's all about me. And it's all about us. No. It's all about him. It's not my will. It's his will be done. Not what I want. Amen. Go to the next scripture, sister. I'll put that scripture back up there. I put some background in them scriptures. And after I got finished, I just going in there clicking them. And I was going back through and see how it looked. Look at the background I put on that one. Hath a nation changed their gods? That's the capital. An American flag. Wow. I didn't do that. I mean, that was just there when I went back through them. Amen. Jeremiah 5:31. Listen to this. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a sad scripture? They know that they're lying through their teeth, but they love to have it so. Brother Dave, I ain't going to go to your church over there because, you know, I'm going to have to live, you know, accountable and straight in that narrow way. But I'll go over here, Brother David, and I can live any way I want to because my preacher said I could. Did you ever not think that he's lying? Did it ever not come a clue that he's lying? They prophesy falsely. My people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? What you going to do at the end of this life? Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come," and we're living in that day, "when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and be turned into what? Fables, little fairy tales." Oh, we're talking about America. We're talking about the church world in America. I said it one time in a message not long ago. So goes the church, so goes the nation. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 said, "Even him," talking about Antichrist, "whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness." You say, "Well, Brother Dave, what about these mega churches, Brother Dave? All the crowds coming, and you go in there and they preach it. It sounds good, you know, and it looks good, and everything seems that they've drawn crowds. What about it, Brother David? You can't do that. Not with a message I preach. I never will." Amen. Amen. But did you ever think maybe they're not telling the truth? I got a little paper today a guy gave me somewhere, the house or somewhere. A preacher wrote, because the man wanted to hand out some little things, just warning people, you know. Evidently knew that preacher wasn't going to warn them. And he wrote a letter, sent it out, and he said, "I have my convictions, my personal convictions, and I have my, how do you say it? My personal convictions." He said, "My beliefs. And that's where they're going to remain mine. In other words, I'm not going to share them with you. And he says, anything that's controversial, I'm not going to force it upon you. Well, just preach the Bible. I mean, abortion's wrong. He can't say that. Come on, homosexuality is wrong. He can't say that. It's crazy. We're living in a mad, mad, mad world. He says, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. You'll look up the meaning of a lot of these words in here. Because they receive, that's what study is, by the way. Because they receive not the love of the truth. See, I love you. That's why I tell you the truth. There's a love of the truth. Amen? That they might be saved. Might is conditional. I can't force you. You have to accept it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. John 3 and 16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. I'm talking about church people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'm telling you, people don't want to hear the truth. They would rather live in a lie in this world and fulfill their lust and what they want to do. Well, let me tell you, last time I checked, I was bought with a price. I'm not my own anymore. It's not what David wants to do. It's what God wants David to do. Did you get it, church? I'm almost finished. Listen. I told you a while ago about scripture I read over there about a let me find it here real quick. A land not cast up. That means not raised up, not a higher way. Can't find it right now. But y'all know what? Y'all remember I made a comment about it? A higher way? Listen. Isaiah 35 and 8, it says, and a highway shall be there. Not a concrete road. I'm talking about a higher way. God has brought me up out of the mully grubs of this life. Come on, I don't walk through the filth of this life anymore. Come on, I can walk above those things. Come on, I can walk in victory. I don't have to get down and wallow in that filth anymore. What did David say? That he reached out and he brought him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he put my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, amen. Come on, he made somebody out of it. I was a nobody, and he took my nothing, and he gave me his everything. Oh, glory. Are y'all with me? And a highway shall be there, and a way, not many ways. I saw a sign down in Florida when I was down at one time at a pastor's convention, big old billboard, and it said, one God, many paths. No, it's not. It's one God, and it's one way. There is no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. It is not in Allah, not in Mohammed, or Buddha, come on, or Reverend Moon, or any of these things. But it's Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. And if it makes people mad, if it offends them, so be it. Because I love my God. I love my Lord that gave his life for me. Highway shall be the any way, and it shall be called. Oh, church is key out of this. The way of holiness. Come on now. y'all. I mean, look, Jeremiah talks about it. He said, I think it's Jeremiah. He said, I don't have it, but it says that the cups will have wholeness unto the Lord. Come on. The plates will have wholeness unto the Lord. Across the horses, it'll be wholeness unto the Lord. Oh, what did he say in Hebrews in the 12th chapter? He said, follow peace with all men and what? Holiness, without which no man shall see God. But Brother Dave, I don't want to join a holiness church. I ain't talking about no denomination. I'm telling you, the names over the door is going to burn up on the way down or fly off on the way up. I'm talking about a lifestyle, a life change. He made a change in me. Hallelujah. Listen, it's the way, it shall be called the way of holiness. I don't have a bit of problem saying that. Called the way of holiness. Listen, the unclean shall not pass over it. Unclean ain't gonna get on it. Takes the blood to get you up there. Listen, it said it's such an easy road. A lot of people say, boy, it's hard living for God. No, the only place I read hard is in Proverbs. It said the ways of a transgressor is hard. You saying it's a hard road, you must be a transgressor, you old transgressor. So listen, the wayfaring man, no fool. A simple man, it can be fool, just an ignorant person shall not err therein. They can even walk out. I mean, come on, you don't have to be a Bible school theology major. Come on, it's so simple a little child can be saved. Amen. Revelation 21 and 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. It don't mean if you walk to aisle somewhere and got your name on a membership roll, which is good. Don't let me get you wrong and mislead you. It's good to be part of a local body, but that's not what gets you to heaven, my friend. It takes a little more than that. It's got to get a little higher than that. It's got to get your name all the way in heaven. And the only way to get it there is to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Ezekiel 22 and 24 is the day we're living in, a day when America is in a mess. Look, we owe China over $700 billion. That's just China. I ain't counting Indonesia. That's not counting Japan. That's not counting all these other countries we owe. In the 70s, we was loaning money to all of them. We was the country up to the 70s, 60s, 70s. We was loaning money to all them. Wait a minute. What is going wrong? I remember in the 60s, God got out of the schools. And they wanted to take God out of the government. And they've been fighting him ever since. They started electing homosexuals are coming out of the closet in our government. Come on, church. They find governors having love affairs with women in other countries. In our own state, you ought to call, get yourself out, boy. Get your life straight. Get down to your children. I called him. I said, tell him to step down from there and get over there with his wife and his children and get his marriage fixed up. I said, I'm a preacher and I have a hard time. I'm preaching to young people all the time about morality. And there he's ahead of the state. It's a shame on him, Governor Sanford. Yeah, I voted for him, but I'll not vote for him next time. Whatever he runs for, I don't care what it is. Amen. Oh. Preachers get up. Well, I've sinned. You ought to be out horsewhipped. I know I ain't God. Help me, God, get back here. Let me contain myself. Help me, Lord. Where was I at? Oh, horsewhip. Don't keep me back there. Well, y'all getting up there excited, wouldn't you? we owe China over $700 billion. Now, come on. We don't understand what that is, do you? Listen. But if you were standing at the foot of the cross of Calvary, the day Jesus said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, you walked away from there that day and you lived all these over 2,000 years, and every day you spent $1 million. Every day you spent $1 million, you'd be spent today around a little over $700 billion. In fact, while we're in this service, just the interest on that, I wish I had the exact figures, but it's somewhere in what, a couple hours been here, about $400 million in interest to China just for our $700 billion we owe them. We ain't paid nothing on the principal. I mean, you think we're like, come on, church, come on.
Yeah, give us health care. The government will buy it. Where are they going to get the money? Come on, be sensible. I'll tell you how. They done got your money. They want your lands. And they want your cattle.
Oh, that cash for clunkers thing. Oh, wait, the income tax check come. Our time come. They've got to claim that money as income on their taxes. Ha ha. Ha ha, got you, didn't he? Huh?
Yeah, $4,500, about another $1,200, $1,500 you got to pay in taxes.
They didn't tell us that. Oh, they don't tell you this stuff.
Your preacher will.
Well, Brother David, don't get political. Okay, okay.
Boom, get a copy of it and send it to the White House. I don't care, you ought to.
We'll pray and get Obama saved.
Huh? He might want to change his name then. Help us, Lord.
Ezekiel 22 and 24, he says, "Say unto her, thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. A land that's not blessed." Come on. Let's face it, friends. America is in a mess. I don't know where you realize it. It's in a mess. I could get into a lot of stuff right now. How that they're monetizing debt. The Treasury Department. They're unelected. They're unruled government. They're there. The Congress can't tell them what to do. Nobody. They're just there. And they're printing money and buying up debt. Well, that's good, but they be printing money. Yeah, but every time they print money, it makes your money worth less. It's like if I have a bottle of Coca-Cola here, a glass of Coca-Cola, and I take some of that Coke out and dilute it with water. He said, "Well, it's the same, Brother David." No, it's worth less. You're diluting it. And what does that do? It causes inflation. What does inflation do? Raises taxes. How does it raise taxes? Oh, they're sneaky. It raises taxes because instead of something costing $100, now it costs $200. You got to pay tax on $200 rather than $100. Isn't that smart? They raise taxes without raising taxes. Oh, we slick. Y'all dumb people don't know it. Oh, help us. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey. And they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things that have made many widows in the midst thereof. He's talking about in the church, much less in the nation. But let me tell you, what goes on in the church bleeds over into the nation. The reason America is in the shape it's in is because of the shape of the church world. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between unclean and clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profane among them. Oh, let's don't talk about, you know, the blood. Let's get the blood out of our songs. Her priests in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening in the prey to shed blood and destroy their souls to get dishonest gain, their hirelings. Her priests have dabbed them with untempered martyr. They preach messages that will not build and fortify people's lives, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord had not even spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy, yea, and have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should stand, to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before the land, that I should not destroy it. Listen to this, very sad, but I found none. Sought for a man. There's a gap in the hedge, and he needs somebody to stand there. People are going into hell. And he said, I just need somebody that'll have enough backbone to stand and just simply tell people the truth. And I found none. Will you be that one? Will you commit to staying? Will you be that example? Answer me. Will you be that example? Verse 31, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. Amen. We're living in a time of famine, like in the time of Amos. He said here, behold, the days come. This is the day that Amos was talking about, saith the Lord. That I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. There's a famine of the bread of life in the land. They keep changing it and watering it down. All different so-called versions of the Bible, but they're not, they're junk, they're lies out of the pit of hell. Amen. And they keep changing it and watering it down, and people sitting there ignorantly listening to it and accepting it as the truth. And it's a lie all the time. He said, there's a famine in the land, those commencements. There's a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but a hearing of the word of God. I'm telling you, oh God, I went to church just here in Somerville just a few weeks ago, and I got so sick in that place, I had to get up and leave that place. I'm telling you, here in Somerville, I can only imagine in a lot of places around. I don't know, I don't get to go out very much, but I'm telling you, if people are sitting in a place like I was in the other night there, I'm telling you, I don't know how they live. I don't know how they live. It's a famine of the word of God. But I like what I'm closing here with. In 2 Chronicles in the 7th chapter, verse 14, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I'm telling you, he said, if my people, if the Christian, if the church, which are called by Christ's name, Christians, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm telling you, it's a time, my friend, that the church needs to repent. We need to repent. We need to repent. God, forgive us this day of our transgressions. Forgive us, Lord, of our laziness and our slackness. Forgive us, God, for not standing in the hedge. Lord, forgive us this day. Humble themselves and pray. Turn from their wicked way and seek his face. Then will I hear from heaven He said in Isaiah 59 and 1, he said, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot reach, neither is his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. But if my people, which are called by name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. In other words, the iniquity will be past and he can hear us in heaven. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Move out from where you at somewhere. If you got to move to the center aisle, if you got to move to the front, but don't stay in the same place you're at. If you got to move to the other end of the pew, but get out of the same spot that you're in and get in a place and begin to pray, God, I'm praying for our land. I'm praying for America. I'm praying for our church. I'm praying for me, Lord. My brothers and sisters, God, help us, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us.